Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. Also, understanding to the simple. So let it be even now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk for just a few minutes on the faith, the subject of faith in the word of promise. I haven't listened to your replay, so I don't know what you guys have been talking about, but I'm sure it's along the same lines. Faith in the word of promise. I'm going to just share a few stories from the Bible and tell you a few things here and there. But I'm going to tell you, this thing first. There is a word of promise, that we have at this time. And I'm going to tell you what it's all about. And let's start here. And then I'll drop back into some of these stories. Let's start in Romans chapter 9 and verse 9. In Romans chapter 9, verse 9, we talk about, the word, of promise. Hallelujah. Which the Lord, gave at that time. Well, there was a time, and you all know this story, that God visited Abraham and, told him about, Sarah, his wife. Now, this was the word of promise. Romans 9 and verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Well, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Let's decompose that for just a minute. At what time? I mean, even if Sarah were to conceive that very moment, she would have 9 more months before she could bring 4, according to the pattern of the cycle of life. But the word of promise said, at this time. Now, so I want to connect the time of the promise to the word of the promise. Because he said, at this time. Well, we know that Sarah did not have a child that very moment. And Sarah, maybe 9 months later, she did have a child. Right? The word of God said it. And maybe the word, was formed in her right away. And, when they came together, she got pregnant. But it took 9 months. She didn't have the child that very moment. So, but he said, at this time. So that means there is a time element associated with the word of promise. And when God gives the word of promise, in his mind, it's at this time. Because once he gives it, it's at this time. Whether it takes, in this case, 9 months, or however long it took. Now, this was not the 25-year promise. God already gave promise to Abraham many years before. This was right close. This was the year before Sarah had the baby. So it was just like, right there. And so God gave the promise and said it. At this time, will I come? Ah, hallelujah. I love the way he said it too. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, when the promise, when it's time for the promise, it's also time for his coming. I'm not talking about the second coming of the Lord, which I might maybe, but, the Lord will come with that promise. Because he said, at this time will I come, and I will visit Sarah. Is really what he's saying, and she shall have a son. So let's connect the dots with the time of promise, and let's connect it also with God's coming. And what is he going to do? Well, of course, to make sure, the promise as given, comes to pass. Now, let's take a look at a story here. In the days of the early church, in the Acts of Apostles and so on, when Stephen, gave that incredible testimony before the crowd, they tried to stone him to death, but they eventually did stone him to death at the end. But before they did, in his preaching, here's what he said. I'll pick out just one verse there in Acts chapter 7, And let's take a look at verse 17. And let's connect the dots. You know, now he has been telling them, and so the way he was preaching was trying to show that Christ was indeed the seed of Abraham, and that he was a seed promised, and he was, you know, the heir to David's throne and all of that, and tracing it down and so on and so forth, and all the things that happened to them in Egypt and so on and so forth, and just tracing it down to show, you know, that, you know, by all the scriptures that Christ was that Jesus was the very Christ, you know. So now he got to this point, you know, when he was talking about Jacob going down to Egypt and so forth, and the thing that happened to them, and of course, God told Abraham way before that. And he said, but when the time of the promise drew nigh. Now, what was the promise at the time? Well, you got to go back to Genesis, you know, chapter 15. Before Abraham even had a child, you know, God told him what would happen, not only to one child, but to his seed. I mean, the children of Israel. You know, all the things that would happen to them, how that, you know, they would eventually go and sojourn in a land, in a foreign land, and that the stranger would oppress them for many years, 400 years, and that later he would bring them out by a strong hand, and he would punish, you know, punish that nation and so on, you know. And, you know, the Lord told him all these things, you know, even before, you know, he had any child. And the Lord said to him, well, know of a surety that your seed is going to go down, you know, to be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. You can read that in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterward, now, here's a promise. Afterward, they shall come out with great substance. Now, that's a promise. You know, they're going down and being, you know, tormented 400 years. That's not a promise. You're just saying what's going to happen to them. But here's a promise. You know, afterwards, I'll bring them out with great substance. Now, that's a promise. You know, so, you know, now, let's look at what happened before that promise. You go back to the story in Acts chapter 7. You know, the story of all that, Egypt and so forth, Jacob, Joseph, you know the story, and where, you know, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died, and the one that didn't know him came outside to torment them, like God said. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, there was something promised, and when the time drew near, God began to orchestrate some events that will align and move that promise into position. So as the time of promise drew nigh, God started to orchestrate some certain things, you know. Now, and you know the rest of the story. But let's go back to Exodus chapter 11. And let's read, you know, some of the things. As part of this time of promise, God said, look, I'll visit that nation. I'm going to bring you out with a great hand, a high hand, and great substance, and I'll punish that nation. Well, let's see. That was a promise. Exodus chapter 11. And when God began to move, you know, of course, you know, Moses went down there, did many miracles and so forth, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart more and more and more. And here, you know, this one is going to happen. He said, this last one is going to break Pharaoh's will. I'm going to kill his firstborn and all the firstborn in the land. But that was not the promise. There was a promise given to them that time. And the lesson I want to focus on today is putting your faith in the word of promise, especially, well, there are many things, but more especially for God able to protect us and, you know, and do some things at this end of the age and get us out of here. But before we do, all of the things that he said will happen. Now, the word of promise to us is at this time I will come. You know, and you will receive the pillar of fire experience again. That's a word of promise. We have that. We're going to be under this phenomena of the pillar of fire, you know, experience. It's going to be, it's sometimes called a dynamic haze of power. It's a word of promise. It's coming. And the Lord also said, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon the face of the earth, try all them that dwell upon it. That's a word of promise. Now, let's see what he gave here. You know, the Lord said to him about midnight, Exodus 11 and verse 4. About midnight, I will go. Now, this the other time he said, I will come. This time he said, I will go. You know, now, he coming to his people, you know, with a blessing. He's going out here with a judgment against the world and Egypt. I will go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land shall die. Now, that's not a promise, but he said it. But the promise was that he will protect the people, his own people. And you know, there was a time many years ago, I watched this movie called Ten Commandments, one of the greatest movies they ever did. You know, they didn't get some things right, but it was a good storytelling, but they put some few things in there. And I noticed where, you know, where the way they put it out there, you know, that Moses would talk to these people, you know, and then they would challenge him, you know, like, how do you know, you know, like when God said, look, you know, put the lamb, you know, of the, you know, put the lamb, I mean, what do you call it? Put the blood of the lamb upon the doorposts of the, you know, when the destroyer goes out there, you know, how that God will save and keep everyone. And he told them that, but, you know, they would say, well, how do we know that the Lord is going to do it? Well, in the book of Exodus chapter 12, you know, if you read, continue reading from that, Exodus chapter 4, continue reading to Exodus chapter 12, you'll see where God actually gave them instructions. Now, this is where I told them of the destruction that's coming in Exodus 11. But let's fast forward to Exodus 12. And see where he told them of how he's going to protect them, you know. And he said, look, you know, remember he said in Exodus 11:4, at midnight, I will go through, you know, I'm going to kill everything. And, you know, it's going to be a great cry, you know, and so forth, you know. But the Lord also said to them, you know, that, you know, the, when this happens, the Lord said, look, I will pass through the land, and when I see the blood, you know, and so forth, I will cause the destroyer to pass over your houses, and it will not do any evil to you. You can read that in Exodus chapter 12. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin. I mean, he told them actually take a lamb for a house and so forth, trying to move through this quickly, kill the Passover. And then verse 22 tells them, dip the, you know, thing, put it on the doorpost of your, you know, of your house and so forth, you know, and none of you shall go out of the house in the evening. And the Lord said, look, I'm going to pass through and smite the Egyptians, you know, and when he seeth the blood, you know, he's going to pass over you and so forth. You know, he told them these things. And then the people said, well, you know, some of them would have said, how do we know that the destroyer will not destroy us along with the people? That, you know, that's the one, that's the first story I want us to focus on today, you know. When the Lord said, do this and you'll be safe. Well, how do we know that killing the lamb and putting the doorpost, I mean, the blood in that doorpost will actually save us from the destroyer? Well, then Moses would answer them and say, because the Lord said so. You know, so because the Lord said so, because the word of his promise was that he will keep us as long as we're staying in the house and you put the blood on your door. Put the blood on your door. And the Lord said, he will keep you. And the people would say, well, we don't know if that's going to be. But the Lord said, well, and Moses said, well, Lord said so. And so every one of them, well, they did as Moses said. But some of them were doubting in their hearts anyway. You know, and they did. And they went into their house, did the thing, put the blood on, you know, the mark. And I guarantee you, if any of those Egyptians had run inside any of those houses, they would have been saved too. I mean, the Lord was not going to go behind that bloodline and go strike down any, you know, that bloodline was the dividing line right there. So if the Egyptians crossed that line and entered any one of those houses, they too would have been saved. It didn't matter. Whoever was in the house that had the blood on top of it was saved. You know, and so, but how do you know that you'll be saved? You know, I mean, how do you, you know, so that's one of the stories that I want us to consider. A couple more stories. The next one I want us to consider is the story, you know, of Noah. Noah, of course, you know the story. When God told him, look, God will, you know, had it up to here, if you might say, you know, with the ways of the children of the world at the time, and their manner was continually evil. And the Lord said, look, you know, their days are continually evil, so I am going to destroy man, which I have made upon the earth. But he gave Noah instructions, you know, of what to do. But the question is, I mean, how do we know? I mean, let's say the Lord, I mean, when he gave the instruction to Noah, you know, Noah might have been thinking in his heart, you know, how do we, because they'd never seen any rain. Nobody knew what rain was. But the Lord told him, look, that's coming. I'm going to open up the floodgates of heaven. I'm going to destroy everything. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to build this thing. And it took him, I don't have time to read the story, you know, but you can read it from Genesis chapter 6 through about 8. And the Lord said, look, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence and so forth. You know, I'm going to destroy all of them. You know, I want you to make wood. Now, here's a side punchline. God, you may have heard me say this before. Now, God told Noah that the flood was coming to destroy the whole world. You know, now, but Noah is the one that's going to build the ark. Same thing like children of Israel. The destroyer is coming, but you're the one that's going to kill the lamb and put the blood on your doorpost. God's not going to do that part for you. But you're going to do it, and while you're doing it, you'll be thinking about it, and you have an opportunity to doubt whether or not this will actually work, you know, or you can believe. Now, it took Noah, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know why it took him that long, but 120 years in those days were not very long when people lived 500, 600, 700, 800 years. But anyway, he took him 120 years, and that whole time was imagining what the, you know, opening the floodgates of heaven would look like, because it had never rained, you know, never rained up to that time. Only God sent a mist from the ground. And then when the windows of heaven were opened up, after, you know, that God gave him instructions how to bring the animals in and all that, and God locked the door and so on. That's another story, but I'm not telling that today. When once he got inside the ark and the heavens opened up, and the waters began to rise continually, and this ark thing was being tossed up and down. Don't you think? What would have been going on in there? Because the animals, they couldn't speak very much, you know. But his family said, how do we know that we are going to be saved? We are going to perish in this thing. I mean, they would toss them up. I don't want you to think for 1 minute that that ark was smooth sailing. There was no such thing. The thing was tossed up and down, up and down, up and down with all the waves and so forth, you know. And Noah would keep telling them, because God said so. Just put your trust in the word of promise. God promised us that he's going to bring us through this thing. We're going to perish. Should have left us wherever. Take your time in putting your faith into the word of promise. Moses told them also that night, put your faith into the word of promise. He will. He said he will. You know, you got to believe it. So, well, we don't know. Maybe he won't. Well, you got to put your word, your faith in the word of promise. So these things happen for our examples. And God even recorded this concerning Noah in Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, Noah, by faith, being warned of things to come, moved with fear, you know, and built an ark to the saving of his household, by the which act he condemned the rest of the world at that time, you know, but he put his faith in the word of promise that God was going to save him from the destruction that was coming. Now, do we have a word of promise for God to protect us from, you know, this stuff? Well, Jesus prayed about it, first of all. And he also told the people, he told us too, to pray about it. That's how Jesus prayed about it. In the book of John, chapter 17, you know, I love this prayer and I refer to it many, many times, you know, because there's so many elements in this prayer. And this is how Jesus prayed about it. You know, he said, look, Father, I pray that you take them not from the world. John 17 and 15. But that you should keep them from the evil. Now, we know that God answers the prayer, every prayer that Jesus prayed. You know, so we know that he prayed for them. And he prayed for us and said, keep them from the world. And then he told us to pray for ourselves also. You know, and then you say, well, how do we know that he's going to keep us from these things? Well, you know, this is what he said that we should do. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Because he said, as a snare will it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Luke 21:35. Now watch ye therefore, verse 36. And pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. So there is coming an escape. I call it the great escape. He promised it, but we must pray for it. See, it's just like, you know, in Exodus, well, God promised he would protect them, but they got to do something. They got to go kill the lamb and put the blood on the doorposts. Well, God told Noah, the rain's coming to destroy everything, but you got to build the ark. I'm going to give you instructions, but you're going to build the ark. God could have just given him an ark already. I mean, why, you know? But no. God has some principles of things. He'll give you the wood. He'll even show you how to find more wood. And he will lead you how to find people that are skilled, whatever, to do whatever it is you want to do. But you're going to do it. You're going to build that ark. God's not building it for you. God does, ladies and gentlemen, you know, God doesn't build arks or furniture. God makes trees. Hallelujah. And then he gives man, you know, wisdom and knowledge how to build furniture out of it. You know, that's what God does. He just makes trees. And you guys go figure it out. If you can figure it out, you can even turn the trees into anything you want, paper or whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, but God gave the trees. And you go figure out what you want to do with it. I mean, this is the thing with God's earth. There's so much. I mean, I was discussing this with just a brother yesterday that we saw, and I was saying that, you know, went to his house and showed him all these trees and was plucking some things for me and for my wife and I, you know, for my own wife and me. And then I said, I read this thing and I saw this YouTube video and I asked him, did you see this thing? I said, yeah. I said, this looks like one of those trees. Can I actually make electricity out of this thing? You know, I saw a video where somebody made electricity out of a tree and all of that. You know, like, well, I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, all those things are there to be discovered. I mean, God put those things out there, you know, hey, figure it out. You know, whatever you can. You know, so you're the one that's going to do it. God's natural resources are out there. But he'll give you wisdom on how to do it. But you're going to do it. God's already told you the flood was coming to destroy the world, but you are going to have to build the ark. God already told you the destroyer is coming to destroy the place, but you are going to have to kill the ram and put the blood on your doorpost and stay in the house. You know, there's some instructions, there's specific instructions for everything. It's like, you know, the night that Paul was caught in the shipwreck and he told them, stay in the boat. Except you stay in the boat, you cannot be saved. You know, and they were trying to jump ship. He said, no, I told you shouldn't have set sail, but okay. Nevertheless, angel of the Lord stood by me tonight and told me that no lives will be lost, but they must stay in the boat. You know, so there's instructions that God will give every time. But let's get back to our lesson here. Our lesson is putting our faith in the word of promise. Now, you know, the word of promise could be something that God's going to do to bless you. It could be something like this and that. Could be anointing that's coming, a great revival. Could also be this great escape that God has promised. How do we know that we are going to escape? Well, there's a lot of people today and groups and so forth and organizations and so forth. I tell you, there's no such thing as pre-tribulation rapture. All of us, they said, will go through the tribulation. We're all going to go through this stuff. Nobody's going to escape. Yet Jesus said, pray that you may escape. You know, so Jesus was either just teasing us. I mean, like, dangle something in front of you. Hey, I don't know how they say it. Come and get it. You know, and then when you get it, he pulls it off. When you come and get it, he pulls it off and teases you some more. Now, God doesn't do that. If God never tells you to pray for something unless he's going to do it. That's right. You know, he's not going to ask you to pray for something and, you know, just tease you with it. No. If Jesus said, pray that you may escape, it's because there will be those that will escape. There will be some that will not pray and they will not escape. There will be some that will not watch or pray and they will not escape. But every word in this Bible will be fulfilled. So if God said, pray that you may escape, watch and do these things, then there will be some. God always leaves himself a remnant that will believe and do what he said, and it will happen to them. So let's put our faith in the word of promise. God's able to keep us from a time of trouble that's coming upon the face of the world, and it's starting already. You know, so now let's also put your faith in the word of promise for every word of promise. Well, I put my faith in God's word of promise time and time and time again. Yeah, and you know, there are many times that I actually spend time to seek God specifically. What is God saying to his people? Because, you know, people love it, you know, New Year, they want to hear a word. So, well, you know, Jesus said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. So I do the same. I say, well, you know, let's hear what the Lord is saying. So I sanctify myself, take time out, seek the Lord for days, any days, see what the Lord's going to say. And then the Lord, boom, all of a sudden, sometimes I wait and wait and wait for days. And then one day he'll just, boom, bring some word and say, that's it. And I say, that's it. You know, so what did he say this year? And I've been hammering on it for quite a while. Emerge was the one word. And I said, wow, you know, and I've been talking about it and so on and so forth. You got to put your faith in the word of promise. But there's also a time associated with the word of promise. Because he said, at this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. He also said, well, when the time of promise began to draw near, then God began to orchestrate something. The first thing that God did in Egypt when the time of promise was drawing near was make sure that the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died. So that, you know, the hard time will come. Because those hard times had to come so that the high hand of deliverance will happen. Those hard times had to come first, and so on and so forth. You know, so all of these things are happening because it was getting to time of the promise. But you got to put your faith in the word of promise. You know, now, I don't know whether Joseph himself thought that the dreams he saw were a promise or guidance or just dreams. I don't know how he interpreted those dreams to himself. But there was something in those dreams, you know, that said that, look, your brothers will make obeisance to you. I'm going to bow down. You basically reign over them. And, you know, it didn't seem like it. You know, it was far from it. But it happened. But he had to put his faith in that word of promise. Now, I didn't want this to be a long lesson today. So I'm going to begin to bring it home. There are many more examples I can give of how we need to put our faith in the word of promise. Now, remember, those of you who have listened to my lessons and teachings on, you know, faith, you know, and those principles of oracles of God and my faith specs and all those things, you know, how do I often start that? Always find the word of promise. You know, if God didn't promise it, well, you can believe it if you want. Maybe it will happen, maybe not. Who knows? You know, but if God promised it, now that's a different story. If he didn't promise it, if I'm believing it, well, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But now when he did promise it, I got to put my faith in the word of promise. You know, God told Elijah, you know, go, I'm going to send rain today. Well, that was about a promise. Well, it didn't look anything like it. The heavens were brass. He himself pronounced the same thing. To Ahab, look, I am actually hearing the sound of abundance over here. There's no rain anywhere. You know, you go and eat and drink. Rain's coming. But he himself, There was no eating or drinking. He's going to pray that rain down. So those are lessons that we learn. Now, we need to put our faith in the word of promise, but that doesn't mean that you're just going to sit down and then the word of promise will just come. You're going to pray that thing down, whatever it takes, you're going to pray it down. But you're going to put your faith in the word of promise. Now, the word of promise was given to us in Acts 1 and 11. This same Jesus, whom you see go up, shall in likewise manner come again. That's a word of promise. Now, it doesn't look like Jesus, you know, coming. I mean, we've been talking about it for literally hundreds of years. I've been talking about the coming of the Lord since the early church, you know. And even I myself, you know, I'm not even 70 years old. But for at least 50 of those 70 years, we have been talking about the coming of the Lord. But it doesn't look like it. People are saying, look, you know, everything is the same since the fathers fell asleep. You know, this Lord is coming, whatever. So finally, people gave up and said, look, we're not going. Nobody's getting out of here. We're all going to great tribulation, you know, and so on and so forth. But you put your faith in the word of promise. And that word of promise, just like he said in that at midnight, I'm going to go through the land, kill all the firstborn. For you, not a dog will wag his tongue against you. Nothing. You're going to know how I will make a differentiation between you and the children of Israel. I mean, the children of Egypt. Told them. And they had to put their faith in that thing. That look, all these plagues that will happen in Egypt, none of it will happen to us. Because the Lord said so. They asked Moses, how do you know? So, well, the Lord said so. Praise the Lord. So that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Because the Lord said so. You know, that's another angle that I want to bring today for us to put our faith in the word of promise and just say, because the Lord said so. That's right. You know, so how do you know it's going to be? Well, because the Lord said so. You know, but it doesn't look like, well, the Lord said so. You know, and just stick your guns on the Lord said so. You know, that's it. The Lord said so. But, you know, even after Sarah laughed, you know, I guarantee you she still tried to, you know, do some other things, you know, and Abraham would say something like, look, not again. I fell for that once. That's it. You know, I'm not falling for that again. The Lord has said so. In 1 year, you will have this baby. Hallelujah. I'm not doing that no more. No, you know, Lord said so. You know, so, you know, what has the Lord said? Will you dare to believe? Will you dare to put your faith in the word of promise? Well, I'm believing God, you know, for many things, especially as we look towards this last great outpouring. I mean, we've been talking about it for years, you know, and some of us experienced some things many, many years ago. And we're still experiencing some things here and there, here and there, here and there. We're looking for a deluge. We're looking for an incredible force, you know, like a dynamo of spiritual power and force, you know, that, I mean, we'll just be like, I mean, walking and rolling, you know, in the power of God. And we're looking for something. And then, of course, ultimately looking to, you know, for the Lord to come. But before he does, a powerful demonstration. We got to show, David said, forsake me not till I show this generation your glory and thy power to everyone that's to come. I'm going to show it. You know, I'm going to demonstrate it. I'm a kingdom ambassador. I'm going to show them what it means. The kingdom of God, what it looks like. Glory to God. You know, so let's put our faith in the word of promise. Now, what is the word of promise? Remember, at this time, I will come. So the word of promise also carries his presence. I will come. And Sarah. I mean, he could have said it this way. Well, at this time, you know, according to the time of life, that's how the prophets used to say, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. Well, he could have also said it that way. You know, according to the time of life, your wife will embrace a son. But he didn't say it like that. To say pretty much the same thing, but with his words were, at this time will I come. And that is so, I want to pray and just let God open your mind to grasp that. You know, that at this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Well, the word of God sent out, it was enough. Why do you have to come with that promise? Come like you promised. Come, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come like you promised. Come, Holy Spirit. As a promise that he gave. In these last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. The old men dream dreams. And upon your servants and handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, all over the world he'll do it, but the bride part will be different. You know, Holy Spirit, come like you promised. Come like you promised, Holy Spirit. Come, O Lord, move upon us. And then on our everyday lives, we pray that prayer too. You think of his goodness and think of his promise. And when you think of it, remember it. And he said, I will come. Hallelujah. That's right. You know, he'll be with you in that promise. He'll visit you. That's really what I will come means. He'll visit you. The Lord will visit you. You know, so that's what it means. So now he'll visit us. May the Lord visit each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, come like you promised. I'm going to leave my exhortation there today. And I'm going to pray over the room. Hallelujah. And then throw it up for reactions. I know you guys have been doing an excellent job with the reviews and everything. You know, so let's think about it. Come, O Lord, like you promise. Let's put our faith in the word of promise. You know, put your faith in the word of promise. That yes, the ark may be tossed up and down and everything, and it looks like you're going to perish, but you're not going to perish. Because he said it. And he's going to preserve the lives of you and your family. He may destroy all the other lives, but you'll be preserved. And then my children may ask, well, how do you know? Well, the answer will be because God said so. You know, so how do you know? Because God said so. So when you are in the boat of life, right now, you know, and when Jesus said, well, let's go to the other side, and there you know, everything is turned upside down and looks like you're going to perish, remember that God said so. Remember that Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. Put your faith in the word of promise. God is able to protect. You know, so on our journeys, you know, as we travel, my wife and I, and this, all these things and so forth, I just put my faith in the word of promise because he said, I will send my angel before you. Hallelujah. And I will give you peace. Glory to God. You know, so that's the word of promise. I'm going to put my faith in that word of promise. Now, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or one tittle out of his word. So once he says it, I latch my faith on it, and that settles it. Whether it looks like it or not, I'm not moving one bit. You know, I'm not moving. A devil will have to go down to hell first before I give one inch when I've got my gaze on the word of promise. And that's the posture that we want everybody to develop. Set your eyes on the prize. The prize is the promise. You know, prize with a Z. You know, but there is a prize with a C that we must pray in order to obtain that prize with a Z. You know, in order for you to obtain the promise, you're going to have to pay the price of keeping your eyes on the prize. You know, you keep your eyes and put your faith on the word of promise. And he will do it too. Praise God. So many other stories that I want to share, but I'm going to leave it there. I wanted to keep this room short. During the time that we're here in Nigeria, I'm going to be keeping the room short. You know, so let's leave it there. I'm going to pray for everyone that's in the room right now. And then you may give your shares and your comments and your reactions and so on. Father, we thank you. Come like you promised. There's a song we used to sing that says, Won't you come? Come like you promised. Come like you promised. Won't you come? Come, Holy Spirit. Come like you promised. Spirit of the living God, pour out, O Lord, upon us, even as you promise, upon all flesh. And every word that God has given, sometimes a word for the church, for the bride elect, sometimes a personal word. Either way, you know, put your faith in that word of promise. And as we put our faith in the word of promise, you know, the zeal of the Lord will perform it. So, Lord, may you grant everyone the grace to keep their eyes on the prize and keep our faith in the word of promise, knowing that he is faithful that has promised. And may we, as Abraham, we stand, you know, stand steadfast and not stagger at the promise or the word of promise. We said, at this time, I will come. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I pray, and we see the signs around us that this is such a time. And so I say unto every one of you, peace and at such a time. Peace unto you and at such a time. This is the time, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, this is the time for us to greet each other with an at such a time. That's what they used to do in those days. Peace. And say, an at such a time. Well, what is the time? The time of the word of promise. Hallelujah. So I'm going to begin to remind us that we are at the time of the promise. For at a certain season, well, God will send the angel to stir the pool. Well, at a certain season, at this time, the Lord said, I will come. Hallelujah. And I will visit you. Hallelujah. So this is the time of promise. Let's put our faith in that promise. Lord bless everyone. We love you all. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.